job. How's everybody today? Happy Labor Day weekend. Thank y'all for being here. I'm excited to be in God's house. I'm excited that you're here. We're going to have a great morning of worship. We're going to hear from God's word, fellowship together, and just have a great time together in the Lord's house. So thank you for being here. We're going to start our service with prayer, and then we're going to worship together. So y'all bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, God, for allowing us to be here today. I pray, God, that, you know, in life it's so hard for us to focus and concentrate on what we're doing because there's so many distractions, there's so many different obligations that pull us in so many different directions, Lord. But when we're here with you, God, when we're alone in our prayer closet, when we open our Bibles, whenever we spend time with you, God, I pray that we can put away every distraction, we can put away every other worry and care, and we can just focus on you, God, because you are so, so good to us, and you deserve the very best worship, the very best praise that we can give you. So I pray, Lord, that you would be here with us this morning. I pray, God, that the songs we sing, the prayers we pray, the sermon that's preached, everything that's done this morning, I pray, God, that it would honor and glorify you and you alone. So, God, just be here with us, be here among us, move in our midst. I pray, God, that you would save the lost. I pray, God, that you would encourage and equip those that are already in a relationship with you, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would let us leave this place after our time together and our time with you better equipped to live out your calling on our lives, God. So we love you, Lord, and we just lift up everybody that's not here with us today, and we just pray that you bless them, and God, just move today. God, just be glorified today. We love you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Robert.
Well, hello. Good to see everybody this morning. Y'all are looking good today. Diane's out. She was on, they went on a vacation. And so, anyhow, we're going to deal with a guitar today. We're going to start out today. You know, our Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And you know, that's what we want. We want people to be saved. We want people to come to know our Lord. That's what our pastor preaches every time he gets up, salvation. So we're going to start out singing one of my favorites, maybe it's yours too, I Exalt Thee. Okay?
I adore.
next song is going to be "In Times Like These" is the next one. Is that it? Yeah, okay. You know, trying to pick some songs to go along with the message today. And, you know, we're going, as Christians, we go through some molding and making and shaping, and we're the clay, and the Father is the maker. And sometimes the clay doesn't want to bend and go exactly like the maker would have it to, and sometimes we have battles. So in this old world we live in times like these, we need a Savior. So let's sing this song. In times like
Mary.
that you love us, that you take care of us, Lord, that you guide us every step of our life and way. And Lord, in times like these and all times, you're with us, taking control, Lord, just leading us and guiding us. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you're with us every step of our way, the way of our life. Lord, I pray that you be with us this day. Bless Brother Grant that brings a message. Lord, we want to hear from you this day. Speak through him that you have us to hear. Give us a good and great day and forgive us of our sins and errors. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Who's got a birthday in September? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. Would y'all like to stand, all of you, please? And we want to sing to you, man. Look at these birthdays, would you? It's a good birthday month, isn't it?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, be seated. Thank you. Anniversaries. Oh, okay, the trees. All right, okay. Would y'all stand for us? Y'all want to stand for us? All right. Look, okay, good deal.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy
been two or three, hadn't it, Gary? Just a couple of them. All right. All right. We fall down. Holy, 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 Lord, Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is coming. Revelation. 4:8. Okay.
Cry, holy, holy,
precious Lord, take my hand. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand and say to you, do not fear. I will help you. And that's in Isaiah 41:13. I'd ask you to stand if you would. This is our offertory.
All right, I want to share a few announcements before we continue with worship. Again, thank y'all for being here. If we have any visitors this morning, I want to encourage you to fill out. Well, first of all, this is in the bulletin, so I hope you got one of those worship guides. They're back there on that back table. There's also Bibles. If you didn't bring your Bible today and you need a Bible to use for the service, those are back there as well. But if you'll fill that out and then just turn it into us, that will enable us to get in contact with you, let you know what's going on here at the church, and let us get a little more information about you as well. There's a couple of different announcements in here, different places to serve. We've been talking about the different roles that everybody plays in church, so we're trying to put the information out there, let you know opportunities that you have to be involved and to serve. So there's several there: music and worship, media, visual arts, creative team. Great opportunities with each one of those. So prayerfully consider how God could use you in those areas. And then the Operation Christmas Child, we're continuing to take up both items and money. If you don't have time to go to the store, or if you just rather not go to the store, if you want to give money towards that, then we can purchase the items. And we'll be putting those boxes together pretty soon, right? Miss Edie is at in end of October, okay? So that'll be here before we know it. So thank y'all so much for supporting that great ministry. I believe one of the most important things that we do as a church is pray. And so whenever we get a prayer request, I want to share that with y'all. This is from Mac and Mary McKinley. They're not here with us today, but they sent a note asking us to join them in prayer. The note says, please pray for our 19-year-old great-granddaughter, Caitlin. She'll be having a rod put in her spine on Tuesday. She's been having back problems that cause her to slump over. Prayers greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. So before we continue, why don't we pray together for Caitlin? Y'all join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the honor and the privilege to join together as the church and pray and to lift up this precious great-granddaughter, Caitlin, of Mac and Mary McKinley. We just lift her up to you, and we just pray that throughout the whole process of getting ready, getting admitted, having the procedure done to recovery and rehab and everything that's done, we pray that your anointed hand would be upon her, be upon the surgeons, physicians, nurses, healthcare workers that are going to be giving her care. We just pray, Lord, that that this procedure would be successful and that you would be glorified through the work that's done. We just thank you so much for Mac and Mary. We know how much they love you and believe in prayer, so it's our honor to join them in prayer on this particular issue. And I know that there are many, many other prayer requests around this room, for those watching on Facebook, those that are at different places and unable to be with us today. Lord, we may not know every detail, but you know every single detail, God. So we just pray that your will would be done, that you would be glorified, high and lifted up, that you would draw all men unto yourself, Lord. That's the reason we exist, is to see others know the love that we have found in you. So, Lord, we love you. It's our privilege to sing and worship you, and we're going to continue with that now, Lord. So pray that you would be glorified. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother Robert.
Sing a song today, and I will rise again. You might say, well, Robert, that's more of an Easter song. Well, we meet every Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to celebrate that resurrection right now. Rise again.
Yes, I'll rise.
gets old celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open up with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We are finishing up our uncomfortable sermon series today. It's a shorter series, but I've enjoyed it. I hope you have as well. It's meant to be a challenging series, and I know it's challenged me. I hope it has you as well. So far in the series, we've talked about the attitude that we approach church with, and we've talked about how each of us has a role to play in the church. But today, we're going to talk about why it's worth it for us to be uncomfortable as Christians. Now, because of the unending comfort that awaits us in heaven, the whole Christian life is about being uncomfortable. It's about denying ourselves. It's about taking up our cross and following Jesus. And for a lot of people, that's too much. A lot of people say no thanks right there. They say, I don't want to deny myself. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Right? But God tells us in His Word that this life is just a breath compared to eternity. Experiencing discomfort now is so much better than being uncomfortable for eternity. We either get to experience some discomfort now, or we get to experience, really, it's a lot more than discomfort, for eternity by being separated from God's presence forever in hell. Now, you might be thinking, what do you mean we experience discomfort now? Let me give you a couple examples. Sharing our faith, that's something that makes just about everybody uncomfortable. We get nervous when we try to do it. But listen, God blesses it when we do that. And He uses the gospel. He uses our testimonies of what God has done in our lives to help others know His love. And He allows us to participate in that. And He gives us joy that we could never find anywhere else. So it's worth it. Another example of things in the Christian life that make us uncomfortable, discipleship. Having a close relationship with a brother or sister in Christ that will encourage us when we're down, and someone that will challenge us and hold us accountable when we're in sin. That's uncomfortable, right? Because it requires us to open up and let people in. It requires us to be vulnerable. And being vulnerable is uncomfortable, isn't it? Well, how else does Christ call us to be uncomfortable? How about instead of using our money to build our own kingdoms, we sacrifice for the good of others, right? We're generous with what we have because we realize that God has blessed us so that we could be a blessing to others. Amen? Sacrifice and generosity are uncomfortable in a lot of ways, but the rewards are worth the sacrifice. There are a lot of uncomfortable things that go along with being part of the church, but I believe that the discomfort is well worth it. The name of the sermon this morning is, It's Gonna Be Worth It. And I believe that it is gonna be worth it. Last week, we talked about the church as the body of Christ. Well, this week, we're gonna talk about the church as the bride of Christ. I want us to understand that everything we go through in this life is going to be worth it because we have a hope for the future that is certain. Amen. We don't have to wonder what eternity holds because God has revealed what eternity will be like through His Word. The Bible speaks about a celebration that's going to happen someday in the future when there's this great feast celebrating the marriage of the Lamb, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and His bride, the church. And I love this imagery because it represents the joy that we're going to experience on that day. And just as there was a betrothal period in biblical times during which the bride and the groom were separated until the wedding, right? The bride of Christ, the church, is now separate from the bridegroom, waiting on His return, right? That's the church age that we're living in. And the church's responsibility, the bride's responsibility during the betrothal period is to be faithful to the groom and to be ready when the marriage day finally comes. And what a day that's going to be. church. What a day that will be. Before we read from Revelation 19 together, let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to the point in the service now where we turn our attention to your word. And we just pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to obey, eyes to see. We pray, God, that you would speak to us, that we would hide your word in our hearts, and that we would turn to it again and again every day, Lord. So help us to be drawn closer to you through the preaching of your word. We love you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to read from Revelation 19. Verses 6 through 9. It says, "Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters, and like the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, because our Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared herself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure, for the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints.' Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb.' And he also said to me, 'These words of God are true.'" All right, I want to give you three comforting truths for the Christ follower from our text this morning. These truths let us know that it's all going to be worth it. Amen. Here's number one. Number one is we know how the story ends. We already know how the story ends. Usually, when you think of the book of Revelation, right, you think of the apocalypse, the end of the world type of thing, bowls and judgment and wrath. But you know what else is in the book of Revelation? The marriage supper between the church and the Lamb. Right there with all of that fascinating and horrifying stuff that we find in Revelation, we also see that God's people are going to spend eternity in God's presence. I love stories that have happy endings, don't y'all? I hate to watch a movie and for it to end on a sad note, right? I'm still recovering from Old Yeller. I mean, I don't care if there was puppies at the end, Old Yeller died. If you hadn't seen that, I just spoiled it for you. God doesn't leave us in the dark about what eternity is going to be like. We know how the story ends because God has revealed it to us in the Bible. It's kind of the ultimate spoiler, right? But this is a good spoiler. Usually spoiler alerts are a bad thing. If you're watching a TV series or you're excited about seeing a new movie, the last thing you want is for somebody to tell you all the details about what's going to happen. And I have a buddy, I'm not going to say his name, but a great guy, love him to death. But back in the day, he would straight up spoil a movie in a heartbeat. And it got to the point where if we knew he had seen something that we wanted to see, once he started talking, we'd literally have to go, and just walk away from him because he's going to tell you the end. He's going to tell you the whole plot. If he starts talking, he can't stop. But like I said, Revelation is the best kind of spoiler. This is the kind of news that you don't mind getting early because it's encouraging. If you think about it, one of the things in life that frightens us the most is the fear of the unknown. That's one of the things that's made this pandemic that we're going through so difficult to deal with for these past few months is all of the unknown about it. We feel like if we could just have a handle on it, okay, what causes it? What prevents it? How long is it going to last? We just feel like it'd be easier to deal with if we had some answers, right? But there's so much unknown. And all those unknown factors about the virus make a difficult situation much, much worse. But as far as eternity goes, as far as life after death goes, we know what's going to happen. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they're going to spend eternity in heaven. But those who reject Jesus and put their faith in themselves or in anything else, they're going to spend eternity away from God in hell. And there's no gray area, right? The Bible explicitly tells us that salvation comes through one name, and that name is Jesus. we don't know what the future holds in this life, right? We don't know what tomorrow or the next day or the next year is going to bring, right? Nobody saw 2020 coming. If you did, you didn't tell me, and I'm mad at you, right? Nobody knew 2020 was going to be like this. There's so much unknown in life, but the grand story, the overarching story of the world and the story of God and mankind, we know how that story is going to end. And in a world full of uncertainty, let the knowledge that we have in Revelation bring you comfort. If you're a born-again believer, no matter what the devil, no matter what this world throws at you, we know how this story is going to end. All right? And it ends better than Old Yeller. Let me just say that. All right, let's continue now. The next comforting truth from our passage of Scripture is this. Number two, God has called the church to get ready. And maybe you're thinking, what's comfortable about that? That just sounds like something to do. Well, think about it like this. The fact that we're told to get ready tells us that we have somewhere important to be, right? You ever heard the phrase, all dressed up with no place to go? That is not going to be the case for the Christian, right? We're getting ready because we got an important place to be. The church has a very important save the date to get ready for. All right, think about it like this. We got Kristen's wedding gown up here. She looked beautiful on her wedding day. She looks beautiful today. And we just got this kind of on display to kind of just kind of help set the mood for what we're talking about. Imagine going to a wedding, and then Here Comes the Bride start playing. So everybody stands up, turns around, and looks for the bride. And you turn around and you see her walking down the aisle, and she's wearing a t-shirt and sweatpants and flip-flops. Right? Eating a bag of chips or something. Has anybody ever been to a wedding and seen something like that? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? I haven't either. Right? The bride spends months looking for just the right dress, picking out just the right flowers, right? Thinking through all those other little details that the groom couldn't care less about, right? But the bride is, you know, she is focused on a mission, right, to figure out all these details because they want everything to be perfect on that special day, right? Why do they do that? Because it's not just another day. It's a very special day. It's the day that little girls dream about for years and years until the day finally comes. So they spend a lot of time planning and getting ready for that day. Well, the church is the bride of Christ. And just like a bride in this life gets ready for her wedding day, the bride of Christ, the church, is called to prepare herself. Verse 7 tells us that the bride has prepared herself, and verse 8 tells us that the bride was given fine linen to wear. So just as it is for us every day, it's going to be for the church at the wedding feast. We're called to live for Jesus, and yet the ability to live for Jesus comes to us from God. We can't just muster it up on our own. God gives us the ability to live for Him. It's through Him that we can live for Jesus. And in the same way, the bride is called to prepare herself, but she receives the fine linen, the wedding dress, she receives it from God. So the key to living right daily for Christians and the key to the church getting ready for the wedding feast is for us to look to Jesus and to depend on Him alone. When we are weak, He is what? Strong. He is strong. We always fall short when we try to do things on our own, in our own strength. But nothing is impossible with God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe it is crucial that we as the church reject the idea of comfortable Christianity. The kind of Christianity that's all about convenience and all about preferences and all about us and our will. We've got to reject that because it's not of God and it does not please God. Life as a Christian absolutely should make us uncomfortable from time to time. God hasn't called believers to sit back and relax and wait on Him to return. No, God has given us a mission, and that mission is to help other people discover and experience the incredible love that we have experienced in Jesus Christ. God has given us the incredible gift of the church, and the church enables us to fulfill that mission. Right? The church reminds us that it's we, not me. There's a lot more to consider than just my life and my future. The church enables us to do so much more together than we can do on our own as individuals. Will there be struggles? Will there be difficult times as part of the church? Yes, but it's going to be worth it. All right, the final truth from our passage I want to share with you this morning is this. Number three, we can rest in the hope that is to come. We can rest in that hope. If this world and this life was all that there is, then we could just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. It wouldn't matter what we did or how we lived because there'd be no greater purpose to living. And a lot of people around the world believe like that and they live like that. But Christians believe that this life is far from all that there is. We believe there's a greater purpose in living, right? We have a hope that goes far beyond anything that this world can offer. The angel that was speaking to John in Revelation 19 seems to understand that mankind has a tendency to lose hope. Right? We get discouraged pretty easily. Things pile up on our shoulders, and we forget that we already know how the story ends, and we get discouraged, we get depressed, we feel defeated. Right? The angel seems like he knows that. At the end of verse 9, the angel said to John, "These words of God are true." It's almost like the angel's telling John, "I know people will disappoint you. A lot of situations in life will disappoint you. But these words are from God. You can rest easy. There is nothing that can keep this from happening. These words are true." We need to be reminded every day that although things are so dark on earth right now, there's so much evil and wickedness and hate, there will be a day when all those things will cease. We need to be reminded of the hope that we have that lies ahead of us. We're part of a plan that God has had before there was time, before there was heaven or earth, before there was anything. God had a plan and we're part of it. And nothing's going to stop it. We've talked many times before about how there's no such thing as a perfect church, right? But guess what? There will be a perfect church. What we're talking about at the marriage supper of the bride and the lamb, that's going to be a perfect, unblemished, unstained church bride that's presented to the bridegroom, the Savior, the Lamb. What is impossible here and now will be made possible on that day. That's the hope that we have to look forward to. That is the hope that we've got to hold on to each and every day going forward. A couple of verses I want to share in support of this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, "What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love Him." Let me say that one more time. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, God has prepared those things for those who love Him. We read about heaven in the book of Revelation, but even those words cannot communicate just how incredible it's going to be. It's going to be beyond anything that we can imagine. Now this next text, this is from Revelation 21. I never get tired of reading this text. I love the life that God allows me to live here on this earth, but every day I find myself looking more and more forward to the day that is described in Revelation 21. Start with verse 3. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them. They will be His peoples, and God Himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." what a day that's going to be. Christians have a hope that cannot be taken away. So let that hope bring you comfort when you don't think you can keep going. When you're tired or sad or frustrated and don't think you can take another step, hold on to the hope that we have in Christ and let that bring you comfort. So when I say Christians have a hope that can't be taken away, I don't say that arrogantly as if the Christian is better than a non-believer. I believe the Bible when it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is without sin. Everyone's in the same boat. We all desperately need a Savior because we can't save ourselves. John 3:16 tells us, whosoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. It's not whosoever lives perfectly. It's not whosoever works the hardest. It says whosoever believes. Anyone can be saved. It's not about earning it. It's about receiving it. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from living this life without Jesus and saved from spending eternity separated from Him. And when we get saved, we get adopted into God's family. We become part of the church. God created the church to be a blessing in the life of the Christian and to be a blessing to the world around the Christian. That's why we exist as the church. The first step after getting saved is to be baptized, right? Baptism is the public profession that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and that you're committed to living your life for Him, right? Being a committed member of the church, it can be uncomfortable sometimes, but it's well worth the awkward, the uncomfortable moments to be a part of what God is doing through the church. I'm going to ask Robert to come on up now and play for us. I want to ask y'all to go ahead and stand to your feet. And I want us to put away every distraction and just ask the Lord to direct you in how to respond to His Word. If you'd like to pray to receive Jesus, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you about that. If you need to set up baptism, join the church. If you just need to pray, if you need to pray on your own, we don't have a physical altar, but you can still come down and pray to the Lord, and you may want somebody to pray with you about a particular prayer burden. I'd love to pray with you. Anybody here would love to pray with you. So allow the Spirit to guide you in how to respond. We're going to sing, Brother Robert. Wednesday night for Bible study. Hope you can join us. Hope you can be back next Sunday morning. Invite a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker. Everybody's welcome here. So thank y'all again for being here. Miss Margie, would you pray for us before we leave?
Thank you. We may not admit it, but we do. I pray that you will help me, Lord Jesus, to stand up and step forward when the time is right. I pray for all those, Lord Jesus, who have not found you as their Savior. For we have read the end of the book. We know how it's going to be. I offer this prayer up in your holy name.
Amen. Amen. Love y'all. Have a great week. Yes, ma'am. Hold on, y'all. Thank you, Ms. Gayle. Thank you, church. That's all God. That's not me. I can so relate to what she just prayed. I fail the Lord. I fail to live up to his expectations every day, but he is a good, good father. He blesses this church. He's been blessing this church a long time before we got here. We're just glad to be a part of it. But thank you for that encouragement, Ms. Gayle. All right, love y'all. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Hold her grace.